We are Enneagram Type 9s. They call us the peacemakers, the mediators, the harmonizers, and even the comfort-seeking, self-forgetting, conflict-avoiding, anger-repressing, people-pleasing, procrastinating, indecisive, stubborn, passive-aggressive, yet undeniably likable sweethearts of the Enneagram. But guess what, 9s? We're so much more than that. I'm Kimberly Eclipse, a trained counselor, everyday mentor, and professional astrologer for peacemakers like you. And this is the Enneagram 9 Show. Hey, what is up, Type 9s? Welcome to another episode of the Enneagram 9 Show. All right, so let's dive right into it. Today's conversation is really near and dear to my heart because I have on the podcast my buddy, Holly Perez. Holly was actually on the podcast back in episode 9, where she talked about organization as a form of self-care because she is an organizational coach. And today she is talking about leadership and what that looks like for nines, leadership from within, specifically in the area of work. And for Holly, that means entrepreneurship and self-employment, but also what leadership looks like in a corporate setting, because she has a corporate day job in which she has a managerial position. So this is a really interesting conversation, really for anyone who is finding that they just want to feel like they're the captain of their own ship, that in life they are a leader and not just a follower of wherever the tide may take you. So the other thing is, in this conversation, she shares this really heartwarming story about what it was like for her as a child to attend leadership summer camp for kids. I had no idea such a thing existed. This sounds like my worst nightmare as a kid. And when you hear this story from Holly, you'll just get a kick out of it. But it also is so sweet. And she learned so much, lots of insight that she shares about what it was like to be, you know, just kind of a little wallflower of a type 9 kiddo being asked at a young age to flex her leadership muscles and what that looked like at the time and how that impacted how she is a leader nowadays as an adult. So I really hope you enjoy the journey of today's conversation. Another fun fact about Holly is that she will be joining me at Nines Rising, the virtual retreat for Type 9s that's happening in 2 weeks, Saturday, May 4th. Now, the first time she attended the retreat, she was a participant. And not only that, but she was selected as one of the volunteers in the audience to be coached live. And this time at this retreat, she's actually going to be my wing woman, helping me manage things and helping me to stay on task and on time, which is really hard for me. So Holly, you got your work done out for you, girl. So that'll be fun. Now, speaking of the retreat, as I said, Nines Rising is happening in 2 weeks. And hopefully you can come away from the retreat feeling like, you know, we grow all our lives, right? We're always moving an inch further in our personal growth. But my hope is that when you walk away from this retreat, you felt like you had a growth spurt. So if this sounds appealing to you, if you need something like this in your life, then come join us. You can find out more information about the itinerary and what to expect over at Enneagram9.com. And when you purchase your ticket, don't forget that as a podcast listener, my gift to you, my thank you, is 25% off the cost of your ticket. Just type in podcast25 at checkout. Again, that discount code is podcast25. All right, so let's just jump right into this conversation with Holly. You'll find that she is delightful, insightful, and kind of the personal development queen. And you'll see what I mean. Ladies and gentlemen, Holly Perez. Okay, Holly Perez, welcome back to the Enneagram 9 Show. This is your second time here. We're buds and we've become buds like after that first episode. So at this point, I feel like proper greeting would just be like, hey, what's up? Dude, good to see you again.
Oh, not much. You know.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Kimberly.
Absolutely. I love having friends on here. And I loved your first episode, which was focused on organization as a form of self-care, which is a concept that blew my mind. So welcome back.
The reason why I wanted to bring you back on the show was because I know that there have been lots of changes in your life, lots of exciting things, lots of action taking, and lots of courage. But before we get to that, another thing about you is that you attended Nines Rising, the retreat, the virtual retreat, the first year I hosted it in 2022. So, since we are having another retreat coming up on May 4th, I wanted to have you kind of like speak to that experience at the first retreat. What was special was not only were you participating, as an attendee, but you were also selected as someone to be coached live by our Type 9 coach who was at the event at the time, Heather Fillmore. So, before we launch into what's been going on with you, can you share just your recollection of that retreat and what it felt like for you as a nine?
Oh man, the retreat was just amazing. It was such a great experience to be like part of that that day, and it really felt like a supportive space and a community for me, like to like be surrounded by all the like-minded people, and that we felt like we got each other and we knew like what we were struggling with as kind of a collective whole. So it was just amazing, and I'm so thrilled that you're having another one, because definitely I'm there. I'm definitely excited to go back to another one of your awesome retreats. So I would recommend it to anybody.
Awesome.
Those nines that don't take time out of their day to really focus on themselves and what matters to them, my heart hurts for them because I am them. I am that, person that wouldn't, like that. It's just not a normal, natural thing to focus on my needs and to like actually coordinate spending an entire day like that, where I'm tuning in to myself and listening and learning from people like on the path with me, the path to like self fulfillment, looking inward to find what it is we desire out of this life. Just all of the amazing speakers that you had was amazing, and not even just to mention the specific coaching that I received that day. what I really appreciated about all the speakers that you had as part of that, I feel like people were really, those people have really done the work on themselves to be able to help other people like the way that they do. And it was so grounding to hear them speak about their growth as individuals. They were so like, I feel like they're all kind of body-based practitioners that really teach people how to tune into their own bodies, because as nines, I think we just don't pay attention to our own bodies sometimes. Like, we can really disconnect from them. So I really appreciate, especially Karen Burley opening up with the song that she did, and the exercises that we were able to, experience together all at the same time, where we were getting in our bodies and we were paying attention to what they were saying to us.
One of the things that I'm proud of as you share that, and thank you so much for doing that. It's so generous of you to share your feedback like that. One of the things I'm doing on this show and at the retreat is working exclusively with nines and making sure that my team is always comprised of nines, because I think it's really important for us to see each other and to see each other at our best, at our shiniest, at our most confident and self-assured and taking up space. And it looks different for all of us as nines, but I think we have to see it in action in each other just to kind of realize, yeah, that there's space for them to do that and there's space for me to do that. So that's awesome.
Yes,
Now
yes.
you were the one of the lucky ones to get coached live in front of the group. And I was that scared? I mean, like I felt like there would be some people who would be excited to be chosen, others who might shy away from it. I did ask people who had signed up for the retreat, like, does anyone here want to be coached? What would your question be? And then yours was one of the ones selected. So can you speak a little bit about what it was like to be coached by someone who specializes in coaching nines?
Yeah, I mean, that was just incredible because it was scary because I had only up until that point been coached individually and not in front of an entire group of what, hundreds of people. So it was quite different of an experience, but as soon as you put that opportunity out there, I was like, I had a full body yes moment of this is going to be really helpful for me. This is going to be out of my comfort zone, but something that will be super beneficial. I'd received lots of coaching in the past already, so I was familiar with it. So it was just a matter of getting over the fear of other people seeing me like lots of other people seeing me like that, and kind of put on the spot. But I felt like it was going to be like the way you presented the opportunity was again, like, this is going to be really like, it's not selfish to do this because lots of people are going to be watching and relating to you as somebody being coached in front of them, And I also trusted Heather because I'd seen some of her work before. And I also was familiar with the person that trained her too. I think Brooke Castillo on that podcast, the podcast that she has. So I had listened to that, and like coaching is super familiar in the whole process and everything. So I trusted the process that it was going to be very beneficial for both me and other people. So that got me over the fear and the potential, like, oh gosh, I don't necessarily want to bare my whole, soul to people, but I did because I just knew that it was going to be really good.
And we were all grateful that you did because your particular coaching session was very moving. I mean, it was move. I think people were right there with you. Like they could empathize, they could relate to you. It was an emotional one. Like we had two people being coached live, and yours was quite emotional because I think you were really brave enough to show the vulnerability and to be honest about how you were feeling. So it was very, very powerful.
Yeah, and just doing the hard stuff she was coaching me through in the moment of how does this feel in your body when you're about to do conflict as an Enneagram type nine? Like, how does that feel in your body and where do you feel it? And giving strategies in the moment of like, now try it grounding yourself first, like doing all of this like prep work before I even say a word. Like it happens slowly and then all at once, where people can become like more comfortable, I guess, with the idea of saying something that may be a little bit confrontational, but or that you the main thing that made it easier, I think, for me to show up and be coached in that moment was I knew that everybody could relate. I knew that everybody in the room was an Enneagram type nine and had the same kind of problems facing up to conflict that I had. Even though it's a different scenario, it's a different circumstance, like the pattern is the pattern. And yeah, so everybody could relate. And that made me feel like, okay, people have got my back. People have got my back here. And I can open up and say, what is so scary about this and be present. And so I still sometimes go back to some of the strategies that she brought up in my coaching session with her in any scenario with conflict. It doesn't have to be like the same people. It doesn't have to be the same, group of people. It doesn't need to be the same issue that I'm having. Like, it is just how we deal with conflict in the moment. And
Wow,
it's the
that is
same
so
strategies.
cool. Yes, I love that you still use the strategies that she taught you. How did it feel to be the focus? How did it feel to say, okay, now is the time where I'm going to share what's hard for me, and my expectation is that you are going to help me. Did that feel comfortable, or was there any discomfort there?
That's a good question. I think because leading up to that day, I had already been working with a somatic Enneagram coach. Her name is Hannah Woody. So I just wanted to shout her out because I had done a lot of one-on-one with her already. And because and then I had already done years worth of going to therapy sessions as well with a somatic therapist. And so it's like I walked into that session already having had that the ability to focus on myself for an hour. Every once in a while. And I think that that's something that's a that was a growth edge that I did have to learn at one point, but it was more or less normal for me to put myself in the receiving help spot. That hasn't always come naturally. And it hasn't been a thing where like that's something I had to learn in adulthood, is what I'm trying to say. Like a lot of other things. Like on our last podcast, I talked about self-care and how that's the basis for what I talk about in my business every day now. But I'm really not very great at self-care naturally. So I had to learn that in adulthood. And I also had to learn the skills of organizing and decluttering and productivity and all of that stuff is learned skills. And but because I learned all of those things and to the point of, even mastery of like getting really good at certain things, I realized, oh, I can actually be coached and get better and like master other skills. And some of the skills that I'm talking about are conflict resolution and becoming a leader and becoming a better leader. And to be a leader and a manager and, in any kind of space, a business owner, you need the skills of conflict resolution and communication and direct communication. So all of that stuff is a work in progress. And it's lifetime work, but I just recognize it as like we can be coached, and especially the comfort of knowing that the person on the other side of the coaching table is also a nine and like built a business around something that was hard for them, but they want to help other people because they don't want them to suffer like they did.
So powerful. Thank you. I'm not even going to add to that. In fact, that's a great segue into what I wanted to talk with you about really today, which is all the power moves you've been making professionally. Well, first, this is bringing it way back to we work together to explore your astrological birth chart because I do professional work as an astrologer for nine specifically, and we had worked together. And we had discovered that you have a lot of Aries energy, Aries sun, Aries moon, right? And then Cancer rising. And so I told you at the time that it's not uncommon. And I'll just, for context, for people who are not really familiar with astrology, Aries, the sign of Aries is very close to, I would say, type eight energy. Fiery, bold, confident, action-taking, and they can be very innovative and enthusiastic, energetic. So it's not uncommon that I see that that's in the birth charts of nines. It's almost like there is a power, there's a pipeline running through underneath the surface. Probably some things happen along the way in early childhood that teaches you something about that power line in you. Maybe it makes it so that it's hard to see, hard to recognize, or that it must be repressed and hidden, kept underground for whatever reason. But I bring that up because just some of the really brave things that you've been doing in your life reminded me that, oh, this girl's an Aries. I forgot about that. And it's no wonder. So I guess my question for you is, can you share a little bit about just some of the exciting or difficult things, both probably a mix, that you've experienced lately as an entrepreneur. Because when we spoke, you had and still have your business, you're a professional organizer, and your philosophy is that organization is a form of self-care for yourself. So tell us about like what's been going on for you in the last year or so as a business owner.
It's so hard to believe, but I think our podcast recording was 2 years ago. So much has happened, but also, like, it also seems like just yesterday. Like, and I think so as an Aries person, I start a lot of things, and I have this passion and drive that keeps me going. But as a nine, I also have this procrastination and rumination going on too. So I feel like it's a push and pull constantly
Yeah.
between the two kind of modes of operating. I'm first of all, like, I want to do so much, and in fact want to do like everything all at once, and then I get burnt out as well. So I can tell I definitely have some of that eight energy in there running, but I would identify myself as more of a wing one, more leaning towards the perfectionist side, which I know on our last podcast we talked a lot about the perfectionism that holds me back and has me procrastinating on stuff.
Right, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So I neglected to ask you to introduce yourself
Oh yeah.
in an Enneagram way, right? So you're a nine wing one, you would say,
Yeah. Yeah.
subtype, or
My
do you want to share?
subtype is the social. Yes. Yeah, and I
Okay.
would say sexual second, and then self-preservation is last in
Okay.
my mix.
Okay. I would identify as the same exact thing, actually. Same instinctual stacking and wing, actually. So, can you talk about like where the Aries energy or the type eight energy shows up for you as a self-employed entrepreneur?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, so I think of type eights as they want to do so much. Like they have so many projects in the fire going, maybe at the same time. And I feel like that's something that I do. So I will collect all of these different ideas and get really into starting all of them. starting all of them, but not so much finishing all of them.
Yeah, and that
And
is a very
I see that.
Aries thing
Yeah.
too, like
Yeah.
the starting the fire, but the follow through can be a little bit more of a challenge. But interesting that you have that initial spark, sounds like, often in terms of
Oh yeah.
ideas and wanting to initiate.
Yes,
So
yes. So let me just mention that I've been wanting to okay, so I haven't really started this in earnest, but I have a name for the podcast that I want to start. I downloaded the Spotify for Podcasters app, and then I started downloading podcasts about, how to start a podcast.
There you go. You got to start somewhere.
Yes, and then I want to write a book. So I started writing 1.5 chapters of a book. And I actually challenged myself pretty recently to have the idea and then pretty quickly implement the idea and do it imperfectly and actually put it out into the world. So I did launch a new workshop that I thought of, and I really enjoyed it. I actually delivered the workshop multiple times. I practiced, and I was like, okay, now I can have the in-person one. So the in-person workshop was last week, and I really enjoyed it. Yeah, so I was able to finish something successfully, which makes me really
I did
happy.
something. I actually did something. Yes. And I think that that is often the feeling. I mean, I certainly relate as a nine. Like, I finished something, I accomplished something tangible. I think a lot of times, even though we're not in the head space or triad, I feel like there's a lot just going on there. And maybe that's our line to six, to the type six, where someone will ask me, how was your day? And if I had a lot of ideas, thoughts, or aha moments, insights, I will say, I had a really productive day. That was the thing that I did. I had a realization. But this idea of actually taking action, it's totally different than just like having a great idea. It's action oriented, and that is what we are called to do and challenged to do as nines, because it almost we're taking up space in a very concrete way. It is very scary,
Oh,
but
yeah.
it's important somehow in our growth. So
Yeah, I just want to add too that like I really try hard to focus on myself and my particular goals it doesn't come easy at all, but using some of that eight energy and Aries fiery energy to actually work on my behalf, because that's the point where like my nineness does fail me sometimes. It tells me that other people matter more than I do, and so I should focus on their needs. I should, take action on behalf of others. And so I think that energy does end up getting used up on other people a lot in my life. So I have a family, I have extended family that may need things. I have, my workplace. In addition to my business, I have a full-time corporate job as well. And so some of the things there get prioritized over my own entrepreneurial, like moving forward in my business. And so my business gets put on the back burner for, for a while at a time. And my goal, like I try to be mindful now of like, let's try to take small, imperfect action on my business every day, or at least every week. I don't want my business and myself to go on the back burner, because I'm just all too familiar with that, and it's not fulfilling for me, and it makes me really frustrated and resentful when I just let my pattern run and prioritize other people in front of me and use the rest of my energy ruminating and watching TV. That's not how I want to spend my life. I've decided I need to use some of that fiery energy for myself.
So, last time you spoke about self-care, organization of self-care, but it's almost sounding like you're saying that working on your business is a form of self-care because that is a priority to you and not to anyone else. So one of the challenges it sounds like as a nine who is self-employed is just carving out that time for you to work on the business. What other challenges do you run into as a nine who is self-employed?
Yeah, like not having the accountability and the deadlines and the structure in place where I'm going to actually follow through with what I need to do in my business. Like it's all too easy for me to have something that I want in my business, but for it to not move forward because it doesn't have all the structure in place that's required for it to be something that comes to fruition. Like, I know that I can do it. I'm used to working for an employer, though, is the thing. So it's a
Different
totally different
story.
mindset. It's a
Yes, it is.
totally like, it's something that I have to learn. It's just like any other skill of being an entrepreneur and using her time well and actually putting into place the structure, the organization, the pieces, the work that actually needs to be completed. There's a lot that goes into it, and a lot of it is discretionary. We have the ability to make all the decisions, and so I guess the decision making is one of the things that stops me in my tracks sometimes, because I think making a decision requires so much energy, and if I'm not mindful about that, the use of my energy, there's not enough decision making power to be used on all of the little decisions that need to be made along the way. And so again, it just falls back into the back burner of like, oh, it's so much easier to just do this for somebody else, or like somebody asked me this, this task needs to be completed. Okay. Or,
Yeah, 'cause that's
like
somehow that's
something gets put in
easier.
front. Yeah, something gets put out in front because the energy is not being necessarily spent in focus on the exact thing that needs to be done next in the business. It's more dispersed, and like there's only so much, decision making energy and power behind driving through to completion on something.
Yeah, I really like the way that you're painting this picture. It's such a concrete example of a way that nines can there's so much effort required in things that maybe other types don't have as much difficulty with, like making a decision. Why is making a
Oh.
decision so draining, so challenging? Why do we want to avoid it, numb out, procrastinate with making decisions? Why is it so hard for nines? Can you speak to that a little bit? I mean, I have my thoughts too, but why does it feel like walking through mud making a decision? Why is that so hard?
It's a really good question that I think I'm still trying to figure out the answer to, but I've been learning some things. Like I went to a Zoom call. It was actually about the Enneagram for entrepreneurs, Abby Robbins and Brandon, and I forget his last name, but I just had to bring this one up in particular because they talked about the nines and the fours and the fives being in the withdrawn stance, and how decision making is really hard for all three of those numbers. I can't pinpoint why it's a struggle, but it is. It's a struggle, and I think the strategies that we talked about of overcoming the decision making, number one was getting an accountability partner or group. And so that is something that is a really big deal. And then the other thing is body, like get in your body, go for a run, like sweat some, you make your best decisions when you are active in your body. And so like I have really been honing that for myself, like taking nature walks. And the challenge for me is I can't listen to a podcast while I go for that walk, or else I'm listening to too many opinions of other people instead of tuning into my own self of what decision, what decision is right for me is what I'm trying to say. So if I go out on a walk and have a problem and I just focus on that one problem, I'm likely to come back with a greater clarity and sense of what I need to do next to work on that problem. So it's like getting into your body in order to move forward in a more productive way. So there's that. So, and then back to the accountability strategy. I'm happy to say that I create that within my own programs. So I have a weekly accountability group that I host for others to come work on our either personal projects or professional projects. So they can bring their project to the group and we just set a timer. We talk about we share with each other what we're going to work on, and then 20 minutes we focus on that one thing, and then we come back and report back like how did it go and stuff. So that really, like,
Cool.
for me too, it's for other people, but it's also for me too. It's
Okay.
for me too, I can work on my thing, and because I have that standing appointment every single week, I can move forward on my goals because I am holding myself accountable to other people.
Yeah, I love these strategies. Well, going back to why it might be so difficult to make a decision as a nine, there are a couple of things that you said I just jotted down. When you said that you go out for your nature walk, no podcast, nothing distracting you, and you come to a place of clarity about whatever the issue is, I think there is something about having no distractions, not being influenced by other people's opinions or their needs, and not being distracted by other people's needs. But something about being on your own and getting that clarity is needed, but it doesn't come naturally. Like we have to come away physically or block out the noise somehow. It takes like this extra degree of effort to get clarity because I don't know, like, clarity feels so rare for me. I feel like, when I'm so other focused as a nine, there is not a lot of clarity. There's just a lot out there that I'm dealing with. And then on the inside, I am trying to keep calm despite like any of the stressors of the real world. So I feel like that my attention, my focus. Our focus as nines is there, not so much in like the clarity or the action, but more of like, how do I manage this ongoing anxiety or running monologue or, like just the thoughts and like the conflict. But the other thing I was thinking too was decisions to me feel like there's a lot of potential for conflict. because a decision means yes to that, but no to that. And that just like, it's hard. I think that's hard as
Oh
heck
yeah.
sometimes.
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. And that's probably something that I was afraid to say because conflict is so scary. But yeah, you're exactly right, I think. Because a decision made is yes and no. It's being confident enough and clear enough on your priorities to claim the priority and move forward from there, because that decision is now a final decision. There's no going back. I mean, people can change decisions midstream and down the line, but it feels so final and like you're drawing a line in the sand and then moving forward. And it could be something small. It can be so small, but I feel like small conflict is the same. Like it's kind of like it's on the same level as bigger conflict sometimes. Like it feels that way. It's like all every single like somebody being disappointed that you couldn't meet for coffee that day, like versus I'm gonna niche myself to this specific like target market. And I'm going to potentially turn away or make somebody upset because they're not falling into that, or so it's like the same. It's the feeling of, oh, I don't want to let them down, or I don't want them to think badly of me, or that kind of thing. So I
Yeah,
think you're
you're
right.
just like you're just nailing it. You've just nailed it a million times already in this conversation. Oh my gosh, that really resonates. Two things that you mentioned. First was in terms of making the decisions and why it's hard. You mentioned claiming your priority is difficult, right? Because that there is going to be a hard yes and a hard no. And I think that kind of ties to what I was saying about like, it's so important for us to get clarity to take action. But at the same time, we have to create the conditions so that we can have some clarity to some degree. And the clarity can come when I mean, essentially what it is what you just said, claiming your priority. That's what clarity is. And that can be really difficult. Definitely easier to just like eat a Snickers bar on the couch or like listen to somebody else's podcast and just be on the receiving end of all the stimuli. So I love
Yes,
that.
it's so easy to do that.
It is. And then the hours go by and I'm like, oh wait, I time blocked this section of my day to work for 20 minutes, but instead I was doing everything but the thing that was stressing me out. The avoidance.
Yeah, and Instagram is dangerous for that too, because there's an endless number of people to distract on there. And but I use it for my business marketing, so I have to be on
Oh,
there,
you gotta
yet
be on
I'm on
there.
there for too long.
You know those dang algorithms that know just what to show you, just what to distract you with. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like whoever is my celebrity crush of the month, they keep showing me reels of that person. They just know how to get me to not do my work. But yeah, the other thing that you said that really hit home for me is that no matter the size of the conflict, big or small, it's the same. The experience is the same in the body. So hugely disappointing. A best friend will feel the same as like mildly annoying someone at the cash register. It feels bad in the body. And that's our body responding to our greatest fear as nines, which is that loss of connection, loss of relationship. So it almost like it makes perfect sense why it doesn't matter how big or how small, it's still the same pain because it's still the same fear that's being activated. So
Yes, I have more to shout out as part of accountability, and because they're nines as well. So you know them already, Bonnie and John from Entreprenines, right?
yeah. I don't know them
They
personally, but I listen to their
okay.
podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, they have a great podcast, and they talk about building their own businesses as nines. And they also have a pretty new but budding work like a nine co-working group. or like
I
not
saw
co-working, but like
that.
accountability group. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
And
so bummed
yeah.
because they have it on Mondays and that's my long day at my day job. But it sounds like that's the kind of place I want to be at.
It's a great group. So I'm part of that,
Okay,
and
cool.
I yes, it's once a month that we meet and we talk about challenges, just like what we're describing about, why is it so hard? Yeah, like why is it so hard to like go for it in our businesses? And we talk, we just there's different specific topics that we talk about, but having that, again, a group of like-minded individuals that have the same types of struggles, no, they have the same core, fear of losing connection and separating from people and the loss. And so they know that well, and also have this group of like people that can come together and talk about openly about our struggles with building businesses. And we can give resources to each other as we learn, how to overcome those challenges that we have.
That
So,
sounds like
yeah.
a great support system. Yeah, I love that. Maybe one day I can join you guys. It sounds awesome. Okay, so you and I have something in common, which is we have a passion for our business, but we also have a full-time day job. So, tell me about what it has been like to take up space in the workplace, be a leader in the workplace, and make decisions, and manage people. What is that like as a nine?
Yeah, thank you for they're coming back to that too, because that, concurrently with building a business has felt really hard. Like, having this day job and but still finding, having to like really try hard to find time for my business too. But yeah, I actually really care about my workplace. I've been working there for 15 years at the company, and I care about how the work goes there. I've always been like a behind the scenes person that really like tries to solve problems and make things better on a daily basis, like implement changes that make sense and write documentation so that everybody's on the same page, creating like, co cohesion that everybody is working towards the same goal and does it accurately and on time and everything. So that those have been like the common thread through all of the different roles that I've held at the company. But it wasn't until 2022, right after I had my last interview with you on your podcast, it wasn't until 2022 where I had my first actual like formal manager position there. So before then, I had been informally leading within the team that I was in. So, always again, like trying to do process improvement and training other people on my team from within, like just as a peer. And I realized from that first astrology reading that you and I did together, like my birth chart reading, I didn't really think necessarily that being a manager was, I wasn't like, maybe I wasn't well suited for management because maybe I couldn't get over the conflict thing. Like maybe I'm just not leadership material. But what I guess I realized from our reading and from looking at the Enneagram nine stuff that I had been reading from Beatrice Chestnut and listening to podcasts and stuff, I was like, oh, I'm destined to be a leader, actually. Like my Aries is too strong to let me off the hook from being a leader. And I didn't really acknowledge it in myself. I didn't even acknowledge that I was really even part of the group. I felt like an imposter, actually. When I was in middle school and high school, I attended leadership camp, but I said, oh yeah, I do leadership camp like every summer, but I'm not really a leader. Like I'm not going to actually apply for a position as a leader. I'm not actually going to go for the student council and do anything. But You know,
Wait,
I
so
said I just didn't see
how did you end
myself.
up in how did you end up in leadership camp? I didn't even know there was such thing as a
Yeah.
leadership camp for kids. How did you
Well, it
end
was
up
great.
there?
Yeah.
Were you
It
forced
was
there?
my aunt advocated for me to go to it because I needed the skills of getting out of my comfort zone and joining other people and seeing what it was like to like I can't even begin to describe the experience of leadership camp. I mean, like
Wait, how
it's all
old
the
were you?
things like communication, collaboration, all the leadership skills are taught there, and it's just amazing. I started, I think, when I was in either coming out of fifth grade, like graduating from fifth grade, or graduating from sixth grade. I can't remember where that was. So I was around 12, 13, something, and then on up to like 18.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So you've been in leadership prep for many years,
I
actually.
had, yeah.
Was it something that you said it was your aunt who
Yeah,
encouraged you?
my aunt was a senior counselor there. She was a high school teacher, so she'd been a camp counselor, and it was the Oregon Association of Student Councils.
So why do you think she had you go there? Do you think, did she see something in you that suggested potential for leadership,
She
or
probably
was it
did,
some other agenda? Like,
because
why do you think she sent you there?
she's known me from early, really early in my life when I was a toddler or a preschooler, maybe a little bit older. She married my uncle, but I mean, I'm guessing that she did see something in me. I mean, I've always been a really, really shy, quiet kid, and of course, all of the feedback that I received from counselors and peers while I was a part of that camp was, Holly didn't talk very much, but I can tell you have just such a powerful presence, and it's powerful that you listen. You listen really well, and like you're and just being there is like, or just being there with you makes me feel comforted, makes me feel like I matter.
So you were
It's
like a
gonna make me
type
cry.
nine, you were like a type nine Jedi master, even from when you were a kid, because those are our superpowers in a way. That is how we go. That is a lot of times how our power manifests, is being that presence.
Yeah.
Someone texted that to me the other day too, like, I miss your presence, which is, that feels good. And it somehow feels important for nines to hear too. And I see you getting
Yeah.
emotional right now. I can
Yeah.
tell this really means something to you. Can you share like what you're feeling right now?
I think it wasn't until she kind of forced me into that camp and forced me out of my comfort zone that it wasn't until then that I even pushed myself at all. I don't think I really don't remember before then pushing myself to talk to anybody. I think I was kind of in my own little world and my own little bubble. I don't really remember interacting with people before camp. And I always, every single time, I was super quiet and shy at the beginning, but then I came out of my shell a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more, like as the years went on. I even brought a friend to some of my final years at camp, and I'm like, this is the best thing, you need to come too. And I was just more and more comfortable with myself. And it isn't really until I started reflecting on this pretty recently that, oh, well, she noticed that I needed something like this to get me more comfortable talking with a wider variety of people and get me out of my normal like program, my normal like what I would do if I just, kept to myself and kept quiet and didn't actually push myself. But like it was super uncomfortable being part of that camp because it was like you had to get up early and be in the reception hall with all of the extroverts. They were dancing and they put on loud music and they were encouraging people to like clap in a certain like pattern really early in the morning and say, I'm alive, awake, and alert, enthusiastic, and just kind of like be loud and unapologetic.
And that
And
was just so not your jam at the
that's
time.
so not, yeah, that's just like, that's so out of what I would even think of doing on my own. So I look back and think I'm so grateful for her, because that's actually what you see in real life when you're an adult. Like, those kinds of experiences are more aligned with down the road having to show up and really like pursue the things that you want and advocate for yourself. And there's not going to be an aunt that forces you into situations for the rest of your life. So,
Yeah.
it kind of made me, I think it kind of made me more ready. I don't know what I would have done without the experiences in camp, because I was so quiet and so just in my own head and in my own world. That really, I think that kind of forced me way outside of my comfort zone so that I could kind of live the rest of my life in like a happy medium, like getting to know people a little bit more before starting to act all, crazy and like
And
I
then
don't know,
clapping to a clapping to a beat real early in the
Yeah.
morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I will always remember this too, because that's that same aunt at my graduation from college gave me a framed quote from, I think, Emerson, that was like, do not take, or it said something, oh gosh, I'm going to butcher it, but it was like, do not take the path already formed, but make a path. Or, oh gosh, I
I
don't
think
know
I
what the
know the one.
quote
I
is,
know.
but
I know
it's
the quote you're talking
like
about. I
yeah, like it's about trailblazing, and
Yes. Yeah, I know
maybe
the
you can
one.
put it in the show notes or something
It's something because it's escaping my mind too. I would butcher it as well. I don't
Make a
even know, but
path
it
and then blaze that trail, something like that.
Yeah. And I think that's what we're all challenged to do. And it's not easy. Nice. Like it's so much easier to receive, to observe. And there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. But I definitely think that the challenge for me and for nines often is that that's us on autopilot. That's us without our aunt coming in and intervening and saying, wait a minute, I see something in you. There's more inside there that wants to come out. But for whatever reason, it doesn't feel like it's ready to come out just yet. But that's amazing. I love that story, and I love that you had that experience. And I like how you say too, like that was like a practice, like almost like a dress rehearsal for real life. No one is going to be the camp counselor. You're going to have fewer and fewer camp counselors and involved aunts who come into your life and do that for you. It's going to have to come from within. And
Yes.
sometimes it's like suffering a little bit before you can really find that in you and become your own advocate. So
Yeah, and bringing it back to the relatively current day, when I decided to go for the management position and then got it, I felt so accomplished, because that was the first time I ever like went for something that I truly wanted, and nobody else was pushing me to do it, and nobody was like telling me, oh, I'll give you all of the glowing recommendations, and I'll do this and that for you to like hopefully get this position. I was doing it all on my own, and I sought out external counseling to it counseling and coaching to prepare myself for the interviews and get the job. But that drive and initiation was coming from me, and it felt so good to get into that slot and make something for myself. And my goal going into the whole thing was, I know that I can be a great leader because of how I am, like because I just care about people. And I don't have to look like the next leader. I just have to be me and use my strengths and my abilities and skills to make a smooth, consistent, cohesive team environment for the people that I'm serving. And I can be like little Holly, who was a great listener and a patient presence. I can be that for my team, because that's just who I am. And I
Yes.
can make things better for those people. And in turn, making that environment more peaceful and better for myself as well, because that's what I'm seeking.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I just love your journey for so many reasons. And this conversation ended up being a little bit different from what I thought. I mean, I knew we were going to kind of speak casually we're friendly outside of the podcast world, you know, but I didn't realize that this conversation was going to become one about leadership as a nine, leading a group, but also finding the leader within, really. And that's a lot. And this is a lot of your Aries coming out, right? Like the Aries is the initiator, the leader, the innovator. But the way that it manifests for you as a peacekeeper, harmonizer, mediator is that you do bring that listening, the deep healing listening that is so important for leaders to be able to do in order to serve. And you bring that humility, and that desire to create cohesion. I'm using your words now. Like, so that's
Yeah.
just beautiful. I love the picture that you paint of a type nine leader who is trying to grow,
Nine
take up
types of
space. Love it.
leaders. We're one of those types, and
That's right.
people of all types can be great leaders. It just depends on how, you show up within it. And
Yes, exactly.
yeah.
So that's so true. So true. So thank you so much for being an example of what type nine leadership could look like. I feel like I have more questions for you, but I don't know. It's like dark outside my window. It's past 9 p.m. where I'm at.
Oh my goodness, yeah. And it's like dinner
You
time for me.
gotta get your supper on. I did want to throw in one last question before we end today. What would you say is a recent Type 9 win that you have had?
Good question. I think I'm gonna go with just the fact that I thought of an idea for what kind of workshop would benefit my audience. I thought of that idea and then I actually went for it and made the marketing materials, held the space for others to come along in the same journey, like the journey of not it necessarily experiencing a completely polished workshop product, but in fact, just like providing feedback the first time I did it. And keep iterating on the same idea and just making it better and better. So I delivered the same workshop talk twice online and then once in person. And now I feel like that is a fully formed workshop that I can now include, more. Like if people want me to come talk to their groups about what it is, then I can do that. And if I want to, because another one of my fabulous ideas that I want to do, but haven't really started completely actually implementing on yet is I want to have a retreat of my own locally. And I could present on that topic as part of the overall retreat of having that, be part of my programming. So that workshop is called The Binder of Me. And I mention it because that was born out of doing all of this inner work and looking at my Enneagram stuff and looking at astrology and looking at all of the ways that I can learn more about myself and find out what I love to do, what lights me up. It's a binder of all of the passions and the things that make me happy. And I encourage other people to create one place where they can flip through occasionally, like whenever they feel down, and see, oh, look at this like accomplishment that I've had, this award that I got, or somebody sent me these kind words and I printed it out, or put the card inside of that binder as well.
I
So, yeah,
love
it's called
the
The Binder of
idea.
Me,
I love it
and I
so
love it.
much. That's
Yeah.
awesome. That is a huge win from idea to execution. It's a huge win. And I just love that idea of the binder of me for nines. I mean, what other type?
Yes.
I mean, like, I'm sure any type would benefit from that, but like, especially nines. So I just love that idea. So thank you so much for the work that you do. Now, if anyone wants to connect
Yeah.
with you, where are you in the interwebs and on the internet?
Also, yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So on Instagram, that is where I love to connect with people the most, and that's at HAP Organizing. And then everything else is also the same kind of. So haporganizing.com is my website, Holly at HAP Organizing, my email address. And I'm on Facebook, HAP Organizing. My main offering is one-on-one in person. I'm an organizing coach. Don't really call myself a professional organizer anymore because those folks are usually people that like want to go in and kind of just overhaul the actual like organization for people. But I
Okay, I
like to do
think I
it
may have
with
accidentally called
people.
you a professional organizer in the beginning. But yeah, I
Totally
know
okay.
I see the distinction there. So the professional organizer is like, it's kind of like on a TV show where we're going to organize this whole house, but you're talking about something different here. Coach, you're
Yeah,
kind of like.
I'm a problem solver, by trade. I just basically call myself a problem solver everywhere that I am in, and I help people like hone in on what those problems are and like help them find like tailored solutions that are going to actually work for them and their own personality and their own style. So I actually work with people on like what is your Enneagram type? Do you know your astrology? Like, do you know like your human design? Do you know your Flutterbug organizing style? And just
Wait,
like,
so
yeah, all of
you
these
are bringing
things.
in these tools as you are supporting someone and supporting them in their organizational journey. So like you're
Yes.
implementing personality and like
Yeah, because it's not one
I,
size fits all. That's my thing.
okay.
Like, let's find out what is going to work for you, your particular needs, your family, what
Okay.
lights you up, like what makes you like, we look at the items that they're holding on to, like, is it actually serving you? We let things go that are not serving us, and it's more deep work, I think, than the traditional organizer that just helps you go through your belongings. Like, I really want to get to the root of why is the clutter here? And so we talk about that. I mean, I don't claim to be a therapist or anything, but like, I just can't help like looking at the deeper issues that come along with clutter. And I'm a paper organizing specialist, so I really help people reduce the amount of paper that they're holding on to and stop it from coming in and setting up a system for the things that they do need to keep.
Do you think that different Enneagram types and different personality types, whether it's like based off astrology or some other system, do you think that they require different strategies for organizing their homes? I know you've
Yeah,
spoken about
they
like the
could.
root.
Yeah, they really could. I've definitely drawn some, not conclusions, but like trends between different types and different way, like things that roadblocks that are coming in their way. Like for me as a nine and a nine wing one, in fact, like I'll just talk about me. My struggle with organization is I'm a procrastinator because of the perfectionist tendencies. And maybe I don't want to organize this or put it away because it's not perfect. Like there's no perfect condition right now. And so it just causes me to pile things in different areas. Like if I don't know exactly what to do with it, I'm just going to save it for later and I'm going to put it in a neat little pile. I've got piles around me on the floor. I'm just being honest. Like I struggle with stuff too, and I can see that in it. I can see that some of my clients have that same struggle too. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're also an Enneagram 9. It's just, sometimes we fall into these patterns, and people
Yeah.
are messy and all different. And I think that it's really important to look at the underlying reason why the clutter is there, no matter what the person's type may be. So I don't like make a prescription and say, oh, all Enneagram 9s need this specific type of organization. But what I do is, if they do know like their type or their astrology or their whatever classification it may be, if they know that, I want them to share that with me so that I can tell, Oh, I know, because and as actually as an Enneagram 9, I can relate to almost everything that people are saying. So I can draw on my experience or my family members' experience, or because I've helped everybody in my family pretty much, and then my past clients too. Like, so I'm just kind of collecting all of the different ideas on and resources that will help all sorts of people.
Yeah, I love that. I love how you're really working at the intersection of organization and, well, self-care, but then also self-awareness and healing. There's something like healing in your approach. I'm sure even bringing this into the conversation, like what is your Enneagram type? What is the deeper struggle here? That is healing in itself for someone to be able to talk about. Wow, right?
I could probably talk. I want you to be able to go and enjoy your evening, but I just have to mention this last thing that I'm learning about,
That's
which
okay,
is
because I'm like it
that
was like tw it was like 10 minutes ago where I'm like, all right, share your website, and then this is what we do though. This is what nines do. We just find more to talk about, and we might
I
meander, but
know.
that's okay. Go on.
Yeah, just this last thing about astrology, because I know you'll nerd out about it a little bit, but I learned that I'm a Pisces midheaven. And I was told by another astrologer recently that that means that I can use a lot of my beauty, creativity, and healing in my business. And that feels good to me. Like that feels really good. So I have been just really enjoying the ways in which I can bring that kind of attitude into my business lately.
Yeah, I love that. I love how you're integrating everything. And you are just that lifelong learner. I mean, even today, you've brought in so many resources and referenced so many great healers and, Enneagram specialists and teachers out there and resources. And I can see that you are doing the work. You are walking the walk. So it's really an honor to have you on the show today. Thank you so much. And I'll see you
Yeah,
at the retreat.
absolutely.
I'll see you at the retreat. Nines rising.
Yes, I will see you there. Thank you so much, Kimberly. Really appreciated our conversation.
You're awesome. Thanks. Hey, Type 9, did you enjoy that episode? If you found it helpful, would you be the best and subscribe to the podcast and leave a rating and review? This really helps with getting the podcast seen by other peacemakers out there. Lastly, if you're looking for Type 9 resources, events, and services, check out Enneagram9.com. It's also where you can find a link to my services as an intuitive counselor and astrologer who works specifically with Type 9s. Again, that's Enneagram9.com. See you there.